Attention all you rule breakers, you misfits and troublemakers, all you free spirits and pioneers, all you visionaries and nonconformists.
Everything the establishment has told you is wrong with you is actually what's right with you. You see things others don't. You are hardwired to change the world.
Welcome once again to the Spiritual Activist Radio Show here on BBS Radio. This is a nonprofit show, and you can always get in touch with us by visiting www.spiritualactivist.com. And you can always come to our magazine, which is www.lotusguide.com. And you can always reach us at 530-894-8433. So today we're going to be talking to a couple of women that I think you're going to really, really enjoy. And they're totally dedicated with a passion to bringing you some really good, up-to-date, innovative health information. And this information has to do with your dental health, and that's not where it stops. You see, we're coming from a world that's more or less a traditional world, but we're growing into a world that's quite innovative. And some of the old lines that were never crossed, lines like between doctors and dentists, they're being crossed now. The people are starting to talk and integrate. This is where complementary medicine comes in. So I think you're going to enjoy this talk with Cindy Johnson, who is a dental hygienist, and Julia Worrell, she's a nurse. And these two are really complementary when it comes to what they're going to be sharing with us. And there's nobody that can share it better than them. So I'm just going to read some things that they have on their website. Here's why they do what they're going to do. Now, this is straight off their website, and I apologize for reading this, but they have laid it out so nice. Here's what it says on their website. You invest endless hours in time-consuming, expensive, continuing education to elevate the level of care you provide. You deserve a team that is ready to implement this knowledge upon your return. And the return, obviously, is the return from their training. And here's what they say about their methods. Our collaborative team teaches simple, effective screening tools to assist dental patients, medical patients, sleep breathing disorders, TMJ, and oral myology. We employ powerful educational techniques through engaging lectures, interactive communication, and leadership, along with therapeutic conversational skills. At every level, auxiliary teams have a significant role to play, whether delivering care, assessing needs, or evaluating outcomes and effectiveness. There are many ways in which the health and well-being of your patients can be enhanced by your team. Let's tap into their power, drive, initiative, persuasiveness, and collaborative skills to bring this life-saving knowledge to the forefront of medicine and dentistry. And here's the results. We recognize the challenges of implementing this newfound knowledge once you've returned to your offices, hospitals, and clinics. Your continued advancement of collaborative healthcare needs to be supported by your team. Our courses smoothly and efficiently integrate your level of expertise with your team's standard of excellence, elevating the overall efficiency and reputation of your practice. Our courses are unlike anything you've ever attended before. We are the healthcare providers that hold your patient's hand. We are the ones that will carry your message to the bedside. We are the ones who integrate medicine and dentistry for comprehensive patient care. So let me just say this. If you are a doctor, a dentist, a dental hygienist, anyone in the health practitioner realm, that wants to have continuing credits, by the way, because this is an accredited class that they'll be giving. They're going to be here in Chico. And later on, we'll give their numbers where you can contact them and find out the exact information of when they're going to be in Chico. But they're also down in San Diego. They're all over the place. And you're going to hear some of the different places that they're at. Now, as we get into this conversation with Cindy and Julia, you're going to understand more and more about what they're doing and what they're attempting to accomplish, because this is exactly what needs to happen in complementary medicine, where we're taking advantage of the traditional ways of taking care of our health and upgrading it with new information, innovation, and techniques that are right on the cutting edge. Now, keep in mind, too, that this is not just for the professional. This is for you, the consumer. If you're tired of the old fill and drill technique that your dentist has been doing, listen to this information and take it to your local dentist and have them look into it. Because once they find out what this is really about, they're going to be totally into it too. This is for all of us. So let's listen to Julia and Cindy and see what they have to say. So hello, Cindy and Julia. How are you doing today?
Hi, Rahasia. We're doing great. It's great to see your face. Nice to see you.
It's been a while.
Good to be here with you guys.
Yeah, it's good to be here and interviewing you both. Especially, you know, a lot of the things that I've been going through is I've been interviewing ex-CIA agents, military people, government people, pharmaceutical people, and there's a lot of brave people out there right now going up against really highly entrenched systems. Like you're going up against the drill and fill system, that this is how they make their money. And I wouldn't imagine that they would take it too easy to hear some of this. So tell me how you're approaching this and what is it that first got you started? And then we'll get into what the training is. What is the passion behind you to do this, in other words?
Wow. There's plenty of it, first of all. And our passion is saving lives. And that's really all it boils down to, Rahasia. Julia and I came together. We're on different sides of the fence in healthcare. I'm in dentistry. Julia is in medicine. And we have really, really determined that there is a need to integrate these two practices so that the patient is providing the best level of care.
Yeah, and my background is in emergency medicine, and I found many times that I was frustrated with the limitations of medicine. And looking at anatomical and physiological concerns and realizing that we're limited to mostly medication and lifestyle choices in medicine. So when I discovered that the world of dentistry actually holds a huge key to overall health and wellness, and I started to incorporate, and I realized this gap that exists between us is harming our patients. So I was so excited to meet Cindy and to realize she was just as passionate about closing that gap. And so that's where the synergy comes from, and our combined passions really have taken us, it's propelling us forward rather quickly, because what we've discovered is that there are many people out there like us. So it may seem like we're coming up against the system, but really we're searching through these different systems to find the people who are just like us and who are just as concerned about the state of health and wellness today.
Yeah, you don't have to tell me about passion, because passion is probably why we do what we do, because there are so many ill-informed and uninformed and disinformed people out there in the public that I really truly have a lot of faith in people. And I think if they have the right information, they can make the right choices. But the trouble is getting through the corporate media that blocks and disables a lot of things like this. So we're highly dependent right now on independent media, which is why I have the radio show, the magazine, I do the TV spot. It's to wake people up to the fact that we're entering into another age. Yeah, this is when the curtain is pulled back, and that's when everything changes. Once you see that there's just an old, frail, decrepit old man back there pulling levers and controlling what we see and instilling fear into us and guiding and suppressing information, everything changes. Everything changes once the spotlight of consciousness is put on them.
You know something? I'm going to be perfectly honest with you. the biggest curtain I had to pull back was my own curtain, my own belief system. And it is a challenge because now you go back and you think of all the patients, you think about all the interactions you've had before you knew, and it's difficult to swallow that. But once you know, once you see, you can't unsee it and you can't unknow that. And it drives you to figure out, what else don't we know? What else is there yet still to learn? So I think that's why, you know, having an approach where we go directly to people, we go directly to the consumers, the moms, directly to the providers that we work with, and we use social media a lot to get our message out there. It's an individual process when you are a healthcare provider to determine what kind of healthcare provider you want to be. And your education sets you up to actually open a world of possibilities to you. Whereas sometimes we narrow our focus depending on what our specialty is. So we really just want to try to excite people about health and wellness and get them to open that door.
And also, that's absolutely right. The other thing that I'd like to add to that, Rahasia, is not only pulling back our own curtain, but going back to the education system. Absolutely, it only prepares you to have a license and go open a place of business. And it's up to us as healthcare providers to stay ahead of that wave of information and then to research it and really study it and understand it. One of the most interesting challenges that I have faced over the last 20 years working in my profession is, you had mentioned earlier, this drill and fill mentality. And one of the most difficult things, and even today, it doesn't matter if I'm speaking to 20 people or 250, I ask the question, how many of you have implemented a caries management system in your practice? And maybe two hands will go up in the room. And yet we know that 96% of our population has active carious disease that's affecting their overall health. So that's one little piece of the puzzle. And then that can take us down the fluoride rabbit hole, and we all know where that leads.
Well, tell me a little bit about your workshop or your class, and let's get into that. How does it differ? What is it overturning or changing or altering with what a dentist actually does?
Wow. Well, I'll start and I'll let Julia chime in here too. So what we are doing with our courses is we are teaching a series of modules that will take someone from beginning, dipping their toes into, I want to be this kind of practitioner, to advanced, this is where you go when you want an expert. So we've created those courses for dentists and physicians. And we've also created courses for the consumer so they can come in and learn about this stuff too. We want patients in our chairs who are informed and are able to ask the right questions and to be able to make an informed decision about the provider who's got their hands and their tools in their body.
Yeah, and I think a big part of what we do too is help to help the dental practices to collaborate with medical providers in their community. And we know that there is a certain mindset about that at times, and we need to overcome that. We can't just keep saying this is the way it is. It doesn't need to stay that way. And the direction that medicine is taking, considering the oral systemic part of our health, actually should be one of the first things we consider. And yet I think it's that fear of encroaching on the other person's territory that holds people back. But I'll just give you a quick example of that. I want to share with them about when I crossed the border to come to this conference we're at today, and the Border Patrol was asking me what my profession was, and I said I was a nurse. And then he said, which conference are you going to? And so I said, the Chicago Midwinter Dental Conference. And he says to me, why would a nurse be going to a dental conference? And so I said, for that very reason. You know, the mouth is connected to the body. And so if I'm a nurse, I should know all of it. And if you're in the dental field, you should know all of it. So we need to share our knowledge and not be afraid to do that. So I think a lot of what we do is empowering, motivating, and really helping to build those bridges between the dental provider and the healthcare providers in each community.
Yeah, far too many times, like when I go to a doctor, which is very rare. When I go to a doctor, though, I ask them about nutrition, and they always tell me, well, nutrition's okay, you can take some vitamins, and come to find out they don't really know about nutrition, and that's like me going to my garage mechanic and I say, hey, what should I put in the gas tank? Oh, it doesn't matter, you know, just whatever. It doesn't make sense that they don't really look at the whole problem. Like from the very beginning, when you put food in your mouth and taking care of your dental health all the way through, but they don't. They wait until something happens. The preventative thing is really lacking. That's the reason this is so important right now, because this is the very beginning of preventative medicine.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. And to speak to that, it's very interesting because what we come up against in dentistry, and I think Julia will agree in medicine, is so we have the information, we know what we're looking for and how to assess, for example, airway, which is one of the most critical pieces of information that a dental provider can be giving their patients. And because it's so convoluted and complex and requires a collaborative intra-professional team to manage it, they may assess it, but they don't know what to do with it, so they say nothing. Or they assess it and they don't really know what they're assessing, so they do nothing. So there's a lot of doing nothing that is creating a tremendous amount of unhealthy people who are sick and dying.
They actually feel a little hurt and betrayed that the provider that they've talked to before never discussed these options with them. So we want to build trust with our patients. We want to provide them all the information. If you look at the Informed Consent Act, it requires that a provider outline all the different options available to that person, including complementary therapies, so that when the patient makes a decision about their health care, they're doing it with all the information. That is part of our role, and I think that we don't always do a great job with that.
Yeah, because you're going up against a system that is directly opposed to that, because what you're doing doesn't really make a lot of money for the system. What makes a lot of money for the system is to actually be pretty sick and need a lot of dental work, things like that. So it seems like everything that I go up against, eventually you hit, where is the money going? What is the money, the financial thing around what is blocking this? And every single time, it's a bunch of people making a lot of money and they're deeply entrenched in the system. This has been going on now, like the doctors. I don't know if you know about my dad, but my dad died here about 4 years ago. And the reason he died was he was at the Veterans Hospital. He was on a blood thinner years and years and years, working fine. They changed his blood thinner, and it took me about 6 weeks to decide to actually change it because I was running out of his old one. They gave me the new one. They say, no, this is better. It's twice as good, da, 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 da. I should have went to the internet and checked, because 10 days after I gave him that, he had a massive hemorrhage and stroked out and just aneurysm, just everything went haywire. So I went to the internet and plugged it in. It said, do not ever start using this blood thinner, because if you don't have this factor in your blood, it won't work for one thing. And if it does work, it could really be detrimental and even cause death. So you should have a blood test before, during, and after. They didn't do any of that. And to this day, I think if I'd have just went and took the responsibility to check these doctors out. And I think that's part of my generation. I grew up, if it was written in the newspaper, it's true. If the government tells you, it's true. If a doctor says, it's true. But that isn't necessarily the case anymore. And I think more and more people are waking up to this because of people like you going out there and standing up for the truth and just saying the truth. But this brings in another thing. Sometimes the truth can be so opposed to a person's reality that the cognitive dissonance, you find yourself looking at somebody just sort of staring at you, and you realize you've sort of lost them. How do you start integrating this in with a doctor, a dentist, or a hygienist that is just so entrenched in the system? Where is the little gateway, the portal, the door?
I want to just back up for a little bit to what you were saying about the financial part of things, because I think that is a miss. Would you say that that is kind of a misunderstanding?
Definitely. I'll speak to that too.
No, you go ahead.
It is a misunderstanding. And then finger in that page for a
moment. Come back to the other.
The integration, if you will, which would be, we call our scalars and stethoscopes, we call it the integrative art of medicine and dentistry, because Rahasi, it really does. I mean, I've been in dentistry for 35 years. Julie has been a nurse for
over 20
years. We have some collective experience in this. And with the business that I do, probably the biggest gift I think that we have to offer is how do we recognize when we have that pushback coming our way and how to navigate that properly so that we can still accomplish our end goal, which is to get them to understand why this is important. And so that's how we do it. It truly is an acquired skill, and it requires a lot of communication skills. Mm-hmm. It requires a lot of patience. It requires thick skin, because sometimes, I mean, we've been shredded publicly many times, and we've got the scars, but they heal and we move on. The big money. Now that's the rub with us personally, because if we can get our providers to understand how to shift their mindset and provide this level of care, the money still comes in. It isn't as if there are patients out there who want this level of care. They want to know that when they see a provider, the comprehensive assessments that evaluate everything that is important.
I was just going to say that I think that the internet has been a blessing in many ways, because it's allowed us to advance our knowledge so quickly. We have access to so much information. I think you spoke very well to the fact, though, that the healthcare industry is kind of archaic in its rollout of new information. You'll see a study or research come forward, and it will take years. You know, it was an average of 10 to 20 years before that information gets to the bedside. And I think you raise a good point when you talk about your father. It's those kinds of things where you have something new and it comes out and they want to try it. And it seems like the medications that come out that are new are they move forward quickly. The science drags behind. And so because that is where, like you mentioned, there's money behind that, rolling that forward. But some of the concepts that are coming out from, even for example, from the Brain Initiative from 2008, then there was another influx of information, 2013, and here we are now, 2018, and we are just getting a whiff of it. So unless you choose to actively search for information and search for knowledge, which I think, you know, persons like yourself, when you talk about passion for learning and for knowing this information, we're self-motivated people, we want to know. I think for a lot of providers out there, if you think about the doctors, you know, I think about the doctors I work with, the amount of different types of diseases that are coming out, the medications. We were talking about how the physician's desk reference, which has all the medications, you know, it has doubled and quadrupled in size. So they have a lot to keep up with, but that's where we want to help it. Even if we just focus in on oral systemic health, you know, that's a part we're willing to take on and work through, then hopefully we can speed up the time it takes to get that knowledge to the bedside.
Well, it's good, because it sounds like you've thought about the financial aspect and you've taken what could be a problem and turned it into actually the entryway into this. Because if you can't show these people how to continue to make money, you're fighting an uphill battle, you know, so that's pretty good. It's anything that I say, because I'm in uncharted territory with myself. So anything that I say that you need to straighten me out, feel free, because I'm used to a woman straightening me out. I'm married, so I'm good with this.
Oh, we know your woman, and she's a toughie.
Yeah.
Oh my God.
So tell me what's going on right now. What is happening right now, and what is coming up?
Wow. Our heads are spinning. I mean, we've been invited to speak in Manila on this subject in July. We have been asked to come to Italy and Italy and Australia. There are people out there that get this and want to be part of it. and are, in fact, just before your interview, Julia received a message saying, I can't believe what you're doing. We love this. How can we be part of it? Mm-hmm. You know, it makes questions about fluoride seem so passe, although they're very important questions to be answered. But again, Rahasia, it goes back to patients becoming their own advocate and having a source to assist them with that process. So if they want to find a provider that is this level, they can contact us. If they want to find a provider that does the other things, we have colleagues now that are building these very, very high mm-hmm. level teams.
Mm-hmm. But what is your website and how would they contact you?
It's the word scalers. That's the hygienist side of it. So scalers and stethoscopes. And scalersandstethoscopes.com, and that'll take you to our page. We're affiliated with FACE. Julia mm-hmm. has a nonprofit organization. I'll let you tell them about that, Julia.
Yeah, so FACE is an acronym that stands for the Foundation for Airway and Craniofacial Excellence. And it focuses a lot on basically airway and how our FACE developed.
We have speaking engagements on a monthly basis and clients that are bringing us in. And our next
courses. Yep. We have courses starting in April, and they will be held out through California. A facility we're setting up there to do training, and it'll be integrative, interdisciplinary, because what we find is that the more disciplines we get sitting at the table having these conversations, the more we learn from one another, which just enhances our own learning experience as well.
Yes. Mm-hmm. I noticed that because a friend of mine, Bruce Lipton, is telling me one of the things that's going on in academia right now is different people and different groups are getting together, biology and physicists and physiology. They're starting not to fighting the way they usually do, you know? You know, and that reminds me.
Yes.
He told me something, and you too remind me of this. He told me that there's something that's been happening in biology that they've discovered the last recent years, 2 or 3 years. They've looked very, very closely to a caterpillar becoming a butterfly. And we've just taken that metaphor as a transformational analogy. But now they know that after the caterpillar weaves the chrysalis, inside that chrysalis, everything that was the caterpillar starts breaking down. And the caterpillar, every molecule, every atom in that molecule tries to hold on to the caterpillar pattern. But it can't. There's something happening that overrides it. And there's now they know that there are distinct individual cells placed strategically throughout that chaos that are called imaginal cells. And this actually is what they call them now. And imaginal cells holds the pattern of the butterfly. And slowly, the imaginal cells starts reaching out and reorganizing the old caterpillar regime into this new transformation. So people like us, we are imaginal cells, and it's our job to reach out and envision what life can be like and use the old system. Don't just go against it and try to demolish it or collapse mm-hmm. it, but there's a lot there, like our military. Imagine our military in a position where they could deliver food to the poor nations and help rebuild bridges and buildings. And they could do an amazing job because they have the infrastructure to do that. So it's our job to mm-hmm. see what was and imagine what it can be. And this is you two. You two are like imaginal cells.
Aw, thank you. Rahasia, that's so sweet. And what's just blowing my mind right now is one of the images that our web developer is using for our scalers and stethoscopes is a beautiful image of this amazing caterpillar turning into a chrysalis and back into a butterfly. So you get it.
You absolutely got it. That's awesome.
Yeah, I'll send you a link to that little explanation. It's pretty good because imagine if you're an imaginal cell and you're not really well grounded, your self-esteem is low, you would be worried, you know, well, maybe should I continue being part of the caterpillar thing that's crumbling before my eyes? And you look around and see all the chaos, but chaos within all the chaos we see in our world today, if you look real closely, which I'm doing right now, looking at you two, there's an emerging pattern coming forth.
That's a beautiful.
Thank you so much. You've just filled my cup for the day, and now we're going to go and hit a huge convention center full of thousands of people who may not get this, and so we're out there to try to make that difference. So thank you so much.
Well, that's a pretty good little analogy to tell people, because it gives people hope, because it's based on hard science. And I think a lot of people we've had so much woo-woo science and nonsense and disinformation and people on the internet talking about everything imaginable that they have no idea about. It's really good when you have hard science and you can say, this is what happens in nature, and it's been happening for millions and millions and millions of years, and it's happening right now. And this is it. We're at the moment of transition, and we're at that tipping point, because everything it takes to get to a tipping point, it doesn't even seem like it's doing anything until it gets to the tipping point. Now every little thing we do raises the plate higher and higher and higher. And I think that's where we're at with everything, our environment, the public, the finances, our everything, the water and food quality, everything is at that tipping point. And now people are starting to wake up and pay attention, because they can see things that you're talking about, things that I'm talking about. They can look out in the world now and they can see the movement, the change now, where before they would look out and say, no, everything's fine. I still have a dollar. I can take it to the store and buy a gallon of milk. Now it takes $5 to buy a gallon of milk. So it's changing right before their eyes. So that this is your time right now to get out there and make some movement, make some changes.
Thank you, Rahasia. Absolutely. Thank you.
Yeah, I'm sitting here listening to you thinking, here we were thinking, what are we going to share with your group? And I feel like we're going to be leaving here with more than we shared. Thank you so much.
What a wonderful experience.
That's beautiful. Thank you. That's very inspiring.
Yeah, you two are doing a great, really great job doing what you're doing right now. So tell me, if I was a dental hygienist, which is, I would assume, would be one of the people that would come to your class, right? Or a dentist. What would I be learning? Yep. What would I be doing?
Wow, that's a great question. You would be learning, as a hygienist, how to do everything that you were taught in school to do, but have been stunted since you walked out of those doors. That's the most simple way to put it. And then we would fill that space between your ears with all of the new information and new data and new processes and protocol that you need to be able to be armed with to provide the highest level of care to your patients.
And, you know, from a nursing perspective, I'm going to share something. So, we have our respiratory alarms go off all the time working in an emergency room. And they seem to be an annoyance because we don't really understand what it's indicating. And so the temptation is just to turn it off because the noise is bothering us. And it's interesting that when you fully understand the airway and what's happening, just taking the airway as an example, you understand it, then you know how to improve the oxygenation of that person. There's different things that we have gotten accustomed to doing because we didn't know any better. So really incorporating the same new information. You know, we talk often about hygienists and nurses. We should just be both of us called nurses. Right? Because I can specialize in one area and you're specializing in another area, but we still have to consider the whole body. We're still responsible for all of that information and being able to work to the full scope that we have access to. You look at the medical system today, we are short doctors, big time. We are short nurses. And that deficit is not going to get any better. So the people that are in healthcare now, we need to collaboratively be working together because the population is getting sicker. Why are they getting sicker? With all the science and information and medication we have, why are they getting sicker?
That's another 16 interviews with
you,
Ross.
Yeah, so working together, we can help our patients. And so it's not just, when I talk to the doctors about this information as well, they say, why don't we know this information? they say, well, what are we supposed to do with it? Who do we send to? They are just as frustrated as you are, as we are. Mm-hmm. We're all frustrated. So that's why, you know, sharing all this information intercollaboratively and let's all work together to address these issues is the only way we're going to be able to manage the healthcare crisis that we're facing.
And as a hygienist, to be able to get this type of information and teaching is it's a golden egg. It's everything that a healthcare provider would want, humbly speaking.
And there's credits available, right? There's credits available.
Yes. Oh, yes. Sure. Thank you. Yes. We deliver continuing education credits for our courses, which is really very valuable. They'll get 6 to 8 units in a day.
Well, that's pretty good. You know, there's a really good sign of what's happening, at least in this area. And I think it's happening all over to some degree, although Northern California is usually a little bit ahead of the curve, you know. For 2 years now, we've had a full-page ad from Feather River Hospital, Seventh-day Adventist. And that's two things. One, Seventh-day Adventist is a pretty strict religion, you know, and being a hospital, traditional hospital. But they found that by putting ads in our magazine and recipes, our people, the alternative people, there comes a time when you need a doctor. So they've been having Dinner with the Doctor series. So it gives a chance for the alternative community to go and listen to a traditional doctor that's willing to listen to them too, you know. But the other thing is the religious aspect. We have a Methodist church now that wants to place an ad. We have Religious Science that has an ad. The Unity Church has an ad. It's a blending of entrenched outlooks starting to interweave. And this is part of the new transformation of becoming a butterfly. It's using all of the old information. And I've talked to the hospital and they said, we love your magazine. You know, we absolutely love your magazine, but it's your people that we really, really love. They're coming to our events. They're really asking the right questions. And our doctors are coming back and saying, hey, you know, they asked some pretty good questions here about this and this and about nutrition, about vaccinations, everything. So it's starting to get people to talk.
You know, it's interesting. We have a group of doctors that are working collaboratively with us. When you go onto their website, the very first homepage says that we encourage you to take responsibility for your health, to exercise, to eat healthy nutritional food, to increase more plant-based. Basically, what they're saying is that, you know, there are all these things you need to do to keep your body healthy, and we are not a substitute for that. And I thought that was excellent for these doctors to acknowledge that health and wellness is one issue. Going to your doctor for something that you can't manage is, you know, is an acute situation. Mm-hmm. That's what they're there for. So, Yes, that mindset about preventative are all part of health and wellness, for sure.
Rahazi, I know you had asked for a time limit. We've gone well beyond that.
Over.
I do want to say one last thing about your comment, and that was, it's all about human beings, and it's religions and people and socioeconomic status and elderly people and young. But this is about, I mean, if we can get people from the time that these infants are still in the womb thinking about these things that we're talking about, that's when that butterfly is fully constructed. That's when that change occurs. And I'm thrilled to hear that these people are talking, that they're beginning to enjoy the patients that are asking questions, because those are the ones that will really teach a physician how to be better at what he or she does.
Well, this is way too good to stop right now. Let's go ahead and push this to the limit. Let's take another... let's take another 15 minutes if you have time. Do you have time?
Okay. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. 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 You remember?
I have time.
Okay. Remember a while back, Cindy, I wrote a book, To Believe or Not to Believe, The Social and Neurological Consequences of Belief Systems.
I do.
Well, there's one chapter in that book, and it's to the women of the world that are waking up. And I've noticed on the front lines of almost every innovative movement, there are women. I was watching, it was a YouTube of a woman that was talking about vaccinations a while back. And She was so passionate about it. And she's not saying, don't give your kids vaccinations. She's saying, let's start thinking about this because numbers don't lie. And at the end of the interview, the interviewer asked her, she said, do you want to say one thing to the pharmaceutical industry? And I can't use the exact word she said, but she said, yeah, don't eat with my kids. And I think that's what's happening right now.
I was just going to say
yeah,
that.
Mothers.
I was going to say that, you know, the reason why I think you're seeing this movement led by women is because majority are moms and we are concerned about our kids. It is concerning when in 1989, there was one in 1,000 autistic kids and now there's one in 48. ADHD, one in four boys, one in six girls. Those numbers are alarming. So now when you have a child, you're stressing about whether your child's going to be a statistic. And it's and you can try to do everything you can as a parent to eat healthy while you're pregnant. You breastfeed for as long as you should. You don't let them have chocolate and cookies and all that stuff when they're a baby. Like, all, you can do all those things, right? But if there's things that are going on outside of your control that is affecting your child, then it is maddening. And getting to the root of it, getting to the truth of it, like you talked about before, it can be overwhelming. And so when people learn the truth, that lights a fire in you. You have to share that truth. You have to speak your truth. And I think that's where you see a lot of women speaking up and saying, it's not going to be my kid that you're messing with. Yeah. Right? Mm-hmm. Yes. Yeah. Don't get a mama mad.
Don't do that.
And on that note, so the subject matter that Julie and I are really focusing on with the airway and the craniofacial development and sleep apnea, that goes right back to a pregnant mom. Mm-hmm. And again, how do we treat her? How do we assess her? And then what do we do about it? Mm-hmm. What are some of the preventive things that we can help her with while she's carrying this child that then is another human being that we want to end up on this planet healthy? So, and that's something.
Yeah,
that
so when we talk preventative, we go right back to the mother before she even gets pregnant or during her pregnancy, impacting right there for the developing child.
Mm-hmm. And this is a tricky thing, Rahasia, because you brought up earlier, how do you integrate this thinking when you have dissidents, right? You have people who just don't want to learn. And I've actually had, sadly, a brand new graduate student come out and say, I don't want to do this. I don't want to learn anymore. Those were her words. And so there are those types of thinkers. But if you understand who your listeners are, and you understand with great skill how to communicate and navigate through that very, very windy and thorny path, on the other end is a beautiful thing. And some of the things we're talking about now with the womb and the mother and the children, those aren't things we go in with. But as we begin to unfold the minds of these people and open them up, then we can deliver this high-level information that's oh so important.
Yeah, exactly. So what's in store for you now? Where are you headed right now? Are you headed for a conference?
Cindy was mentioning that, you know, when we started on this, and it's been a relatively short time, the response has been so overwhelming that there's many days our head is just spinning. Yeah. The opportunities are just overwhelming. And so we're having to take a kind of a step back to say, okay, how are we going to roll this out in a way that makes sense, that creates the greatest amount of impact in the communities? So that's where, you know, awareness events in different areas, and then followed up with courses to train providers, because we get people asking us, where can I go? And that's the thing, is developing that connection.
So today, there's one of the largest dental conferences in the country here in Chicago. And there's also a very large conference for the Academy of Oral Systemic Health, which we're both members of.
Yes.
So we're going to divide and conquer.
Yes.
I'm going to what the AOSH calls the dinosaur convention, and she's going to the Academy of Oral Systemic Health. And we're just going to divide and conquer and network and spread the word and get some things set up.
Yep. Keep on planting some seeds out there, because sometimes you don't see the seeds grow immediately. But over the years with the Lotus Guide, I've noticed some of our early articles, like we have a doctor here, Dr. Mark Light. We had him on TV about a month ago, and he was, I didn't even know this, but he started talking about what changed his life was coming to one of our events where we showed a documentary called Thrive. He was a he was a traditional doctor. He said he's seen that, and he heard me speak there, and he said it completely turned his life completely around. Now he does Nate treatments, you know, for allergies and all kinds of tapping, and now he's married a nurse who actually is in it with him, and he is so happy right now and much healthier too. So you never know what seeds you might plant and where it is growing out there that you don't see right away.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Yeah. That's what keeps us going. That's what keeps us going. The fertile ground, as we call it.
Yeah. So how would you like to close this out right now? You have anything you'd like to say? And give me all your contact information, your websites again, everything.
Okay. Well, we would love to say anyone, mm-hmm. contact us. We're happy to hear from anybody. If you have an event that you'd like us to be part of, to raise awareness at the school level, at the community level, mm-hmm. At the corporate level, we're happy to help you with the tools to represent. Scalers and Stethoscopes, that is our page. And you can always reach out to us personally. Cindy Johnson, and my email is Cindy, C-Y-N-D-E-E, at scalar2schedule.com. And Julia, she can be reached. You can give whatever email you'd like.
So I am Julia Worrell. So my email is julia.worrell.rn@gmail.com.
And Worrell is W-H-I-R-L?
Nope, that's the imprint on your finger. It's a W-O-R-R-A-L-L. Thank you.
And do you have any telephone numbers or anything like that?
Yes, my number is 888-470-2217, and I think that's a good number for both of us, Julia.
Sure.
Unless
yeah.
you.
I do. So I have a 1-844-553-6637.
All right. Well, thank you very much, and this has been pretty enlightening for me too. So. Thank you, and we'll have to have you on again.
Thank you.
We would love
it, Marcia. Sure.
Thank you so much for your time.
Absolutely.
Thank you very much.
Take care.
Wow, that was a great interview with a couple of really innovative women that's out there with all their passion, trying to bring new information and new knowledge to all of us. And in today's world, there's nothing more important than maintaining your health. Now, some of our shows coming up, you're going to be amazed at some of the people we have lined up. People like Greg Braden, he's going to be on. And that will pretty much finish off the triad, because we've had Bruce Lipton, we've had Joe Dispenza, and if we have Greg Braden, they call themselves the Three Amigos. And these are different aspects of looking at something, different perspectives of looking at where are we headed with our conscious evolution. How is this going to end up? How are we going to get there? How are we going to maintain our world long enough to make these changes? And it all starts with you. We have to start with ourselves, taking care of ourselves, doing our meditations, doing our practices, and start reaching out and being compassionate and feeling the empathy for other people. I don't think I ever sit down to a full dinner table and don't really think about all the people out there that would give anything to be able to sit in the comfort of my house and sit down and eat a meal. It would be something that they would think about for weeks, the time that they were in this person's nice warm house eating this great food. And I tell you, there's a lot of people out there right now that we need to start thinking about. But before we can do anything with them, we have to think about ourselves. Make sure we're in good shape, good health, and start looking out into the world. And here's a little thing to think about. I meet a lot of people that have a very difficult time because they say, look, I've been doing positive thinking, I've been doing manifestation, I've been doing my meditations, and nothing is happening. But there's a little bit of science involved here, because we have three chakras on the top, three chakras on the bottom, and one chakra in the middle, that's our heart chakra. Now, when you're doing your meditations and you're doing your positive thinking and your manifestation, you have to think about it first. This is the mental part. These are the top chakras. But unless you infuse them with the emotion, the feeling of the bottom three chakras and bring them up to a heart level, the heart is actually what emanates out and does the creation for you. This is why people have a tough time, because they stay in their mind. And you have to really understand that the science is clear right now, very clear, that we have to infuse our thoughts with emotion. It's the emotion that reaches out and does the creating and manifesting in our world. This is something that I've been learning lately, and it seems like it's working for me. And I hope it works for you, and I'm thinking I'm going to write an article about it in the next issue of Lotus Guide, which will be the April, May, June issue of 2018. Oh my gosh. So, thanks again for tuning in, and we'll see you in a couple of weeks with another exciting interview with someone that's going to not tell you what to think, but simply getting us all to start thinking and communicating collaboratively. This is our way out. It's not survival of the fittest. It is all about cooperation. Thank you, and see you in 2 weeks.